I suppose it's message time. But as we move into this, it's gonna look and be different than usual, and I've decided that that is okay. I struggle with that sometimes because I like it to go the way it always goes, and perhaps you do too. So this morning, I just want to speak to you and say, hey, it's going to be different, and that's okay. I have no idea if we'll be here for 5 more minutes or 55 more minutes, and that's okay. So we're going to leave this to the Holy Spirit, and let's pray to him. God, we thank you for being here with us this morning and joining us in worship. Thank you for the way you've already spoken to us in one way or another. And God, I just pray for this remaining time that we spend together. I pray, Lord, for your Spirit to come upon me, that you help me select and choose the words that you feel and you direct through me to speak to your people today, both in-house and online. And Lord, I just pray that through this time together, you're honored and glorified. And we pray this in Jesus' name, amen. Students have not seen these photos yet, so it's kind of hard to see if you're in the back or even in the balcony, but we got our rafting photos. This was one of the first activities we did together this week. I can't tell who this is. I think it's Gianna, right? Gianna, Kayla, Alexa, Addie, Maddie, Ellen, and Chloe. Who was your rafting guide? What was it? What was it? Brian. Oh, yeah, you guys liked Brian, didn't you? Yeah, giggling. Here's the boys. Colin and Aaron, Evan, Ethan, Lance, Cole, and Trey. Who was your guide? What is it? Oh, the girls know. It's Nate. Thanks, girls. Girl. Oh. Who's next? We have, if I could see it right in my small pictures, Kinsey, Caitlin, Sydney Heiser, Cadence, Paige, and Lily. Did I miss anybody in that one? Who's your guide? Greg. Kendra, Tara, Sydney, Shaylin, Evan, and Emmett. Did I miss someone on that one? I didn't. Who is your guide? Lexi. Oh, yeah, the real Lexi. That's right, the real Lexi, okay. Oh, yeah, here's Terry and Bryce, Isabel, Courtney, Isaiah, and Kyle, and their 12-year-old guide. He came up to my waist, but apparently he's 19 and has experience in rafting. But we had to clarify that. What was his name?
Oliver.
They called him Ollie, didn't they? Yes. He's a Spitfire because this raft here, notice who's in the front, Terry. They created havoc for this next raft, which is the rest of us adults. Rob and Quinn, Dory, Kenny, Chardell, and myself. And our guide's name was Riley. I called her Lexi the whole time. So now we jokingly call her Lexi Riley is her name. You know, earlier when we were all up here, and Dory and I were kind of giggling because Rob's sharing how free he was this week, and just, it was wonderful. If you know anything about whitewater rafting, you know that the two people up front are like the strongest and the loudest and the leaders of your raft. Whatever they do, you do. You know, they're going to, your pastor, church, going down this whole river, I think he got 3 commands. Front or left 2 strokes. And Dory and I are, you know, pumping our hearts out, trying to save our lives. And do you know what your pastor's doing? He's going, oh, wow, look at that house over there. I wonder if he's catching anything over there. Look at. They know it because we reenacted that whole thing for our students in a little improv. And I'm just glad that Rob had a good time. And the rest of us lived through that. So there's so many stories like that that we could share. We better get to this one. This is All Stars, Kenny and the Bandanas. We showed up for the volleyball tournament on Tuesday, And though we lost, we did okay. I feel like we did okay. Our serving was a little off. Yeah. Otherwise, and here's our fan club, Kenny and the Bandanas. And then here we have, oh, yeah, Kenny and the Fiddlesticks. They showed up in Fort Collins. I don't know what song they sang. We were distracted by the props and the killer dance moves, but they showed up, and they, I don't know if they're on tour today or where they're at, but. Oh, yeah, and then this, too. Let's count. Two, three, four. Those are the only ones I have documented, and I know there were others. But I want you to know that as much as God is working heavy in us through these trips and through this time, we have a lot of fun with each other, and that's part of what brings us all together as a young body of Christ. And I think that's, it's just the purest example of what God has created the church to be. So as we can laugh and giggle about all this, it's easier for us up here to laugh about it because we're reliving it. And those of you who are in the back are like, okay, ice cream cones, what's the big deal? But just trust that God is the creator of humor, and he has fully gifted us with that. So this morning, I just want to share a little bit with you about what our students and what I learned through Rocky Mountain High. And I'm going to do that through just kind of a rapid fire of what each, we had seven main sessions. And so every morning, we woke up, had breakfast, and had a main session that included worship and a speaker. Then we went to youth group time, and we shared with each other about what did we hear? What's God doing within you through what the speaker has shared? And then we go about our day and have all the fun, eat supper, come back for main session, do youth group time, go have some more fun, and then if you're lucky, you slept a little bit. So that was our day. So to review Rocky Mountain High, as you know from when our students shared, the theme was yes and. And to be honest, when we started, when I got all the promotional materials for this, I was, okay, yes and, how are they going to work that in? But I think with the voices of the students, you could see and hear what God had done through that theme. So our first session was with Megan Marshman. She's the gal on the left. The first session was about, what is your thing? And everybody has a thing that's either holding them back or oppressing them or they're struggling through. And everybody has a thing. And she went into Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, give you hope in the future. And then she also went into verse 12, which said what, students? I don't remember, so I need your help for real. There's Bibles in the pews. Jeremiah 29, verse 12. They knew they'd have to participate, but not like this, so. Jeremiah 29, verse 12. Who's got it? Yep, nice and loud. Turn around, stand up, turn around, shout it.
Then you will call on me and come and praise me, and I will listen to you.
So then you will call on me, praise me, and I will tell you what to do. Is that what it said? Call to you. Okay. So essentially, we get caught up in that God knows the plans. But we don't know what those plans are. But the good thing is that we can know that they are going to be good. And she went on into Romans and did this beautiful thing. So we all discussed what's our thing. And whether we shared or not, we all had a thing. Then that was Saturday night. Sunday morning, Marquise Cox comes up and he talks about who and what is your shepherd. And this, like, I was telling the adults on the way back as we drove through the heat of Nebraska, they kept asking, so, you know, what are you going to preach about on Sunday? I said, well, I have 24 messages I'm working through right now. So here's number two. Who or what is your shepherd? And this one was really powerful for me. He was talking about, well, sometimes our shepherd is the shepherd of worry. Our worry is guiding us and leading us through our lives. Maybe it's the shepherd of comparison. Social media and all things techie bring us to the shepherd of comparison, where we are constantly comparing ourselves to others and finding that we don't measure up. But of course, we're not seeing the thing that people have in social media. What was another shepherd? Fear. Shepherd of fear. Oh, shepherd of feelings. Sometimes we let our feelings guide us. And all that to say, we need the good shepherd. And he preached to us about what the good shepherd provides for us. That night, then Marquise talked to us about, what do you need to gouge out or cut off? And he used this to talk to us about toxicity. What is toxic in your life? And in the scripture he used, I can't remember the reference, but it is about the Lord commands that if your good eye causes you to sin, gouge it out. And of course, does that mean literally? No, it doesn't mean literally gouge out your eye, but it means to just, whatever sin that is, whatever thing it might be, to gouge it out, get rid of it. Likewise, if your good arm causes you to sin, cut it off. Again, God is using powerful imagery and scripture or words here, but he wants us to get to the point that you are better without that good eye and your good arm in order to get rid of the sin and to be able to come closer to him. So we talked about gouging, cutting, and toxicity. It was a lot better than what I can tell you. The fourth one was Megan again. What or who is filling your cup? And as you can see, hopefully in these pictures, the first one, she has a cup, it's on its side. And this is one of the most powerful imagery things she's taught me. She also used this 2 years ago. And I want you all to hear this. A cup is designed to be held straight up. I think I have one, but it's got water in it, so we'll still use it. When you have a cup, in order to use it to its best ability, you stand it straight up and down, correct? Okay. I thought Megan taught us everything wrong there a minute, kids. I thought, okay. Straight up and down, but how, and what do we, when we're pouring into it, we pour from the top and usually pour in, right? Proper way to hold a cup and use a cup. Gotta get rid of it so I can show you the other way. So, how often though in life don't we hold our cup and we're holding it like this? Right, kids? Is this what Megan did? What? Oh, you. I can't because there's water in it, guys. Imagine it's flat on its side, okay? And we hold it out and we say, fill it up. Give me your praise. Give me your good words, your good thoughts. Tell me that you like me. Show me you love me. But when the cup is on its side, it doesn't get full. Have you ever tried to fill a water bottle in a, you know, those water fountains that come like this and it doesn't work. The only way your cup gets full is when it's upright and used the right way. And she spoke into us that only the living water can fill us up to overflowing. And from there, that is where we get our, you know, that's ultimately how we are filled and full and we can live the fullest to our ability. There's a whole much more I can tell you about that, but again, I'm going to mess it up. So you can watch online what she tells you. But that was powerful for us. We're constantly reminded, who's filling your cup? How are you holding your cup? Then she went into the gospel. And you won't probably be able to see it well in this screenshot of the video. But this woman, she is 2.5 years out from losing her husband. And she gets emotional because she knows that her husband was a believer. And even though he was gone too soon, at this point she's saying, I don't care if you... If the grieving woman is showing up to you right now, this is important, and I need you to know. And I thought how powerful for all of us to know that we have an obligation to hear the gospel and to share that gospel with others, no matter what. And it doesn't matter about any of the other things. It doesn't matter about all those different shepherds. It just matters about the good shepherd and who, if you're placing your faith in him, and that he's the only one that's going to fill your cup. And all of the other analogies that came before this culminate into this message. And this is the moment where we have students who respond with, yes, I want to give my life to Christ. Or yes, I need to start over again. I've fallen away. Number three was what? Curious. They're asking questions about faith. And number four, moving into discipleship. And what can they do within the church and how to serve? So that was pretty a powerful one as well. Followed up by Marquise in number six, where he was telling us about his evangelism story. And I think this might be the message. And where's Aaron? I think Aaron. Oh, Aaron. I think this is probably the message that when Aaron shared today about we are God's plan A to share the good news of Christ. There is no plan B. Because it's hard to see, but Marquise is holding a fake $100 bill. And he explained to us that he and some college kids, I'll probably get all the details wrong, but he and some college kids were, where were they? At a movie theater, yes. And waiting for the movie to start or something. And this lady comes up to all of them with these fake $100 bills, some scripture on them, basically an evangelism tool. And did he go home and read it, or was it in that line that he got saved? In the line. So waiting for a movie, this random lady gives us fake $100 bill, and that's how God used her to create this man who is an incredible speaker to youth across the country. And so just a reminder to us that even the smallest thing, those smallest questions, and Colin, you said, I can never keep it straight, the most divine encounters begin with simple questions. This lady came up with a fake $100 bill, and now this man is speaking to our children, and hopefully the ripple effect continues through your children to others. And then the final session, who or what are you connected to? Are you bearing fruit? And if you can see it okay, Megan is holding this branch, and she used the scripture about I'm the vine, you are the branches. And she challenged us about going forth from here, who are you plugged into? Is your branch plugged into some famous pastor who's, you know, good and fluffy, or is it plugged into the Word of God and Jesus Christ is your Savior? So as a review, what's your thing? What's holding you back? What's who or what is your good shepherd? Or not, maybe not good, who or what is your shepherd? And hopefully it is the good shepherd. What do you need to gouge out or cut off in your life that's keeping you away from the Lord? What or who is filling your cup? I should add, how is your cup standing? And do you know the promise of the gospel? Who will give you a $100 bill? Or who will you give a $100 bill to? In other words, who are you going to evangelize to? Who are you going to share that good news with? And then who or what are you connected to, and are you bearing fruit? That's a quick rundown of what we got to experience in just 4 days of Rocky Mountain High. And before that, we got to experience a whole bunch of other things in God's nature and creation. And a lot of times, I was at a leadership conference with one of our students earlier in the mornings, and Stuart Hall, his thing was, if you don't know who God is, go outside. And in the mountains, it's hard to not know who God is. And I think that's why we have Rocky Mountain High as one of those moments that we are so passionate about in our kids. Yes, you can find God here in the cornfields, absolutely. You can find God in the plains and the lakes and at the, you know, fishing at the ponds. There's something about being at the mountains all together worshiping where we meet God. So I didn't start with my scripture because I want to end with my scripture today. I didn't write it down in the bulletin because I had about 2.5 days to get this pulled together and didn't know where God was leading me when the bulletin was printed. And so if you would like to turn to me to the book of Colossians, we're going to end with our scripture. Colossians, we're going to start in chapter 2. We're going to do chapter 2 a little bit in chapter 3 and a little bit in chapter 4. And so before I read this with you, I want you to know that the author of this is Paul, the Apostle Paul. And he is writing to new believers in the church of Colossae. Colossae. Tomato, tomato. And he is trying to encourage them with many things that are happening within their community. So one of those things is that he needs to clarify with them that there are a variety of distortions that they've been hearing through, like, Greek mythology, mystery religions, mysticism, and some Jewish laws and customs. They're struggling with that. And so Paul from prison is writing this letter to them to explain this. He also wrote this, what we're going to read, to encourage the Colossians to hold tight to the truth of the sufficiency. That's a big word, the sufficiency of Christ. In other words, to hold tight to the capability of what Jesus Christ can do in their lives, and also to hold tight to the supremacy, another big word, but supremacy, the reign of Jesus Christ. And so it also provides us with a practical theology for day-to-day living and to grow deeper in our faith. And so when I was reading this, I considered the Church of Colossae, and I thought our students, some of you are new believers as of this past week. Some of you are renewed believers within the last week. And you need to, and many of us talked and we grasped and we wrestled with through tears together. We said, I don't feel a connection with God. May you be encouraged with what Paul wrote to the Colossians, because as they were sorting through all the distortions of what their culture and their world was facing, we talked about how we ourselves are working through the distortions and the culture that you guys live in too. So let's read. We're going to start at Colossians 2, 6 through 10, and then we'll jump to chapter 3. So then, just as you received Jesus Christ as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world rather than on Christ. For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and in Christ you have been brought to fullness. When your cup is upright, you'll be brought to fullness. Chapter 3, verses 1 through 17. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on the earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, in other words, extinguish those evil desires or lust, which is all these following things. So put to death whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these. This is where we start gouging and cutting off. Anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, students and church, as God's chosen people, holy and so dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with one another and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all of these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, sometimes we roll right over that, and whatever you do, in whatever you do, whether you do it in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Jumping to verse 23. Whatever you do, again, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as though you are working for the Lord and not for human masters. So students, we're not done yet with reading, but I want to pause a second before we go to a few verses in chapter 4. Whatever you do, and church, hear us. This isn't just for them, but you get to hear it too. Whatever you do, whether you go to college, whether you go to the workforce, whether you are in ninth grade, whether you're in 12th grade, whether you go home and crochet with your moms and dads or you fight with your moms and dads, whatever you do, do it for the Lord. Change your perspective, and then that's when we find that freedom. Chapter 4, verse 2, and then 5 and 6. And we'll close with this. Chapter 4, verse 2. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Verse 5 and 6. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. In other words, be wise in the way you act towards those who don't believe. Make the most of every opportunity. Hand out some fake $100 bills. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. When it comes down to it towards the end there, devote yourselves to prayer. And what Paul, in those moments, what he is telling us is that it's only through prayer that we will be able to be alert and be able to face all trials and tribulations. I got. See, I messed things. Oh yes, here we are. Good. I left it in there. Our last night of camping at the KOA was what night? Friday night. These clouds are coming, and we're eating supper outside, and everyone's, oh, it's gonna rain. It's gonna rain. And I don't know. It's just gonna be a couple raindrops. Well, it rained, and it hailed. A little bit, not too bad. And we were scrambling to figure out how are we going to get supper cleaned up, how are we going to get everything else cleaned up, and then it was only, I don't know, 6 or 7 at night, so we still had quite a bit of the evening left, and what are we going to do, Rob and the leaders brainstorm, and we got a plan together, and as I was going up to this enclosed, covered pavilion where we were going to have our share time, I turned around, and it does, of course, pictures never do it justice, but turned around to the west, and this is what I saw. And it's the sun setting, and it is peaceful, and it's beautiful. And what I missed was Rob took this picture in the east, right? I missed this. But that doesn't mean that what I saw wasn't as beautiful, and it didn't speak to me as much as a rainbow does. But here's my point is, no matter what you're going through, no matter what rainstorms come, don't forget to look up. Look every direction and figure out, God, where are you? I saw him in a beautiful sunset. Rob caught him in the rainbow. And he shared that on our Snapchat group thingy. And that's the purpose. God wants to show us things so we share it with others and we can encourage one another. So of all of that, that's the hodgepodge, that's the potpourri little message I get to share with you about what I experienced at Rocky Mountain High through your students, through the Holy Spirit. And I wanted to share that with you because I think so often as a church, we donate money throughout the whole year at all these fundraisers. We donate money to buy food, and we donate food, and we donate coolers, and pray for us at 4:45 and send us out the way, and you look at pictures, and you're excited. And I just feel like for us as students, this is our way to say thank you and to give back to you who have supported us and prayed for us, and also to give you insight as to what you have been supporting. We told the students, and I'll share this with you too, we figured out it probably cost about $29,000 for our little group to go to Rocky Mountain High, including everything that we needed. That's before you guys donated all the food and all of that. And then we figured out, gosh, if there's 23,000 students, our participants, they all pay, I think registration fee is about $450 each, so that's upwards of like $900,000. And I give you those numbers not to like, holy cow, but because if you strip away the numbers, it's all worth it. Like I would pay $1,000 more per person. I would do 4 more fundraisers a year if we had to so that these students don't miss this opportunity. So as church, even though you maybe not have experienced Rocky Mountain High